about this one?
Drunkard.
Drunkard? Alright. Alright, so tell you what, let's combine gossip and drunkenness, because we can, I think we can do both in one class. And so the sources today are either child discipline, which might seem strange, but in IBC, we weren't doing Proverbs, but we did do Proverbs for a couple of days in a different class, Creative Male. And one of the classes shows everybody, a bunch of people in that class wanted to talk about just on the day when we did open questions. What they wanted to talk about was raising kids. And that's not a bad idea, because I'll tell you this. How many of you guys are planning that would like to get married? Well, you don't have to tell me. If you're not planning on marriage, that's fine. If you're planning on marriage, I'm going to assume that a number of you would like to get married. And if you do, I will tell you this. Planning ahead what you need to be as a husband, what kind of woman to look for, and what kind of kids to raise helps you a great deal. So that's not a bad choice. Also, gossip and drunkenness. So the choices today are either gossip, and also we'll split in drunkenness, or raising children. Which one do you, let's see, gossip and drunkenness. One, two, three, four. All right, raising children. All right, we're going to talk about raising children. All right.
Solomon, Lord, help us as we look at how we raise children, to think about our future. Lord, we ask that you'd help us to learn how to raise a family now, so that when we, if you will, begin to raise a family, that we will know what we're doing and we can have wise counsel. Thank you for your son, his sacrifice. In his name I pray. Amen. Amen.
All right. So, now somebody read Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24.
He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him properly.
What does modern society, parenting magazines, TV programs, community classes, school teachers, what do they teach about spanking? Yeah, it's wrong, it's bad, and they usually describe it as what?
Abuse.
Yeah, it's abuse, you know. And what does the Bible say? Sometimes the people who say these things grew up in an abusive home. I'm going to tell you something. There are abusive homes. There's fathers that need to be in prison. And you may find yourself in a situation sometime where you need to report a child abuser to the authorities and let the court system, you know, protect those children and get that child abuser off the street. We're also going to see some things about what's really abusive to children that happens oftentimes by these people who promote not spanking them. A lot of people think, why is it they don't want to spank my child? I don't want to spank my child because...
Guilt.
Yeah, I would feel bad because it seems mean, you know, and I love my child. But what does this text say? And sometimes they'll say, well, if I hit him, it's just going to teach him to hit. And so it makes for violent people. You know, you're violent to the child, it teaches the child violence. Is another thought some people have. But this says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. So, first thing we want to notice here is what's the motivation of proper discipline? It's out of love. You're disciplining the child because you love the child. Now, you may sometimes also be irritated or annoyed or frustrated, and you may sometimes be angry, but sometimes when you're angry, what would be a good idea would be maybe pause and wait and get unangry before disciplining the child. It's not as effective when you do it when you're angry. But let the motive be because you love the child. And it said those that love the child, how do they discipline?
Diligent.
What does it mean to do something diligent?
Wisely.
We need to be wise.
Consistently.
My grade is properly.
Okay, properly.
You practice the self-discipline to administer discipline.
Yeah. If we're not in control, our discipline is not going to be effective. You know, if we're out of control, the child's going to see somebody out of control, and that's not a secure thing at all. And along with the idea of diligent is you keep doing it. If you weed your garden diligently, what's your garden look like?
Pretty good.
Yeah. If you weed your garden just when you feel like it, what's your garden going to look like?
Very
weedy. Yeah, it's going to be really weedy. If you weed your garden when somebody else says, I don't know if you've noticed, but your garden's pretty weedy, by then, what's your garden like? Yeah, and that's what some people think about disciplining their kids when everybody else is complaining about their kids. Except then they usually defend themselves and won't get into that. But discipline them diligently. And what does it take to do anything diligently? How many of you guys have cars? Okay. If you want to keep your car clean, if you are diligent about keeping a clean car, how often do you wash it? All right. You know, if that's important to you, you're washing that car regularly, and you're vacuuming it up, and it's clean because you're doing it diligently. So it takes time. It takes a lot of time to train a child. Let's think about a couple of examples. Let's go back to the garden example. All right. So. If you guys both say, hey, does anybody here work a garden in the spring? Right. So Zach and who else? All right. Let's say in the spring you plant a garden and you plant a garden. All right. You both planted seed. I need one of you to volunteer to be diligent with your garden and one undiligent. Who wants to be which?
Be diligent.
Mm-hmm. All right. Evan is diligent. So what are some things you do about your garden?
Every morning.
OK. Okay, you weed it every morning. What are some other things you do?
If a crop is overgrown, you treat it after. That's kind of the same thing.
Okay, all right. What if there's been no rain for a little while?
Water.
Fine. And are you checking on it often? Yeah. And do his, if you're his neighbor, what have you noticed? He spends time in his garden. All right? Zach is undiligent. Zach planted, threw some seed in the ground in the spring. Now it's September. What does Zach have? Oh, no, you got something. What do you got? Yeah. A mess of what? A mess of weeds. And then you live next door to Evan. And it's like harvest time, and you're like, yeah, it's.
The grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah, yes, it is. And you look at Evan, and you say, well, you're lucky. You had easy vegetables. Is that what happened here? What's the difference? Yeah, he put in the time. He was diligent. Here's another way to think about time. A robin gets laid as an egg, and it starts pecking its way out of that shell. What does it look like when it comes out of the shell? Yeah, it does. It's really ugly. What's it do with its mouth? And what's it waiting for? Yeah. How long until that robin flies away? That's right, 2 weeks. 2 weeks. How many of you got a little brother or little sister? How old?
Youngest is 5.
Is she still at home? 5 years? Why didn't the parents kick her out in 2 weeks?
Because she was a helpless infant.
God made robins and people very, 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 very different, okay? The robin eats worms, learns how to do this, and goes. Okay? But you need to learn a lot more than how to eat a worm and do this. And God made you really, really dependent upon your parents for a long time. When you have children, that child is dependent on you for a long time. What do you need to do with that time? Eat worms. Actually, I'm going to tell you a story about eating worms. So I want to do an experiment here on something. I need a volunteer. I want one of you younger guys. You're all, what, age 16?
14, 16.
I need a 14-year-old up here. I need a volunteer.
I guess
none of us are 14. Who's 15? I need a 15-year-old. You may have seen this before, so I need somebody who hasn't seen it. All right, come up here. All right. So you're how old are you again?
15
years old. All right. And so we're going to progress him through life here pretty quick. All right. What's the music at graduation? Okay, you're graduated. Throw your hat.
Wow.
Okay, now you go to college, and what are you going to major in? Real quick.
History.
All right. While he's at history, he meets a young lady. Somebody give me a name of the young lady.
Elizabeth.
Wait. What is Elizabeth majoring in?
I don't care.
Just pick something. We got limited time.
Engineering.
Okay. So your history, she's engineering. Wait. All right. And so now it's time for graduation. They both graduate. Let's hear it again. Throw your hat. Elizabeth. Throws her hat. All right. So now they get married. Let's hear it. Okay. Now you're married. And now you got a job. And how much money are you making?
Lots.
All right. You're making lots. All right. How much money is she making?
All right.
So you got lots and lots of money.
Square.
Okay. You got lots and lots of Monopoly money. Okay. Which is what it is these days. All right. Now you're gonna go shopping. Okay. What kind of house do you two want to live in?
Medium sized.
Okay.
Just normal size.
Some on the cul-de-sac. Some out in the country.
Some are probably out in the rural.
Okay, one story, two story?
Two story.
Two story, okay. Brick?
What?
Brick, aluminum siding, vinyl siding, what do you want?
Don't do brick.
All right, something like that, maybe? All right, there you go. There's, he's got his house and everything. What's wrong with the driveway? What are you driving?
Quick. Just Toyota. Sure.
Okay, Toyota. Hey, good that's choice. Good choice. What's she driving?
A Honda.
Okay, all right, man. I like these cars. All right, and by the way, you got this big house here. You got to do some decorating. What kind of stuff do you want to put in the house?
Just furniture.
Furniture? Okay, where are you going to go to the shop?
IKEA.
You're going to IKEA, so you get the whole, you know, you get all kind of furniture that sounds like medication. Here. Here's your bonus room up here. What do we got in that bonus room up there? How big is the TV screen?
17.
Whoa, yeah. All right. We got that big 75-inch screen stuff. Got any toys for anything?
Of course, Legos.
Hey. Okay, you got some Legos. Anything else? Like any big boy toys?
Weights.
All right, so let's put a weight room over here as well and stuff with that. And where do you guys like to go vacation?
The mountains.
All right, so you're using some of the money to go up here to the mountains. Where do you stay when you're up in the mountains?
In a cabin.
Okay, yeah, there's the cabin that you rent and everything. All right, things are looking good. Okay? Things are looking really, really good. And can I borrow that? Things are looking really, really good.
Wee!
I need a baby.
You're fine.
We got a baby.
Look at that.
It just messed its diaper. Okay. You come home from the hospital. Your work gives you off a few days, and her work gives off in a few days, and so you spend a few days at home, and now it's time to go back to work.
Okay.
And so you're going back to work to get your lots of money, mm-hmm. And she's going back to work.
No.
Cause why? Yeah. How are we paying for all the IKEA furniture and the big house and the Honda and the Toyota and the cabin and all of that?
My work.
Okay, very good. But is that what you've been doing with your money? In other words, have you been living off of both of your incomes? Okay, what's it going to be like once she quits her job and stays, what's his name?
Is it a her or a
him? I don't know, Jeff. It's a him. What's his name?
I don't know, Bob.
Sure. Bob. All right. All right, so she's got to take care of Bob. And Bob's got expenses, okay? Here with Bob. What do you, and so now this is gone.
No.
Okay? How are you paying the bills?
I just work harder.
Okay. And so you start working more and more hours. And now he's grown up and he's a toddler and he's two, and she's been dealing with him all day. And some of you married younger guys, how hard does your wife work with your 6-month-old, 1-year-old, 2-year-old?
She gets worn out.
Yeah, absolutely worn out. But you, because you're working overtime, when you come time, you don't have time for Bob. And she says, I've really had my hands full. Can you take care of him? And you're like, no. Please, I've been working. So, what do we need to back up and do?
No more IKEA.
Children are a heritage of the Lord. Blessed is a man who says, I only want one. You know, here's what we should do. What might we do? What might be a good plan here?
Save her, so
you can
get used to living on
the one. Yeah, there's not a verse in the Bible that says this, but there is a verse in the Bible that says older women train the younger women to love their husbands, love their children, and be workers at home. And so it doesn't mean that a woman can't make income, obviously, because the worthy woman in Proverbs 31, what are some things that she does? She considers the field and she buys it and she plants it. What else does she do? She makes garments, and where does she take them? To the retailers, and then they sell them. But what's the main thing in this woman's life?
Hard work.
Yeah, and her family and her home in that system. She's not a career woman out there, you know, that comes in and has a little bit of time for her family. And Bob needs more than that, and you don't be dropping him off at daycare. All right, so.
That's why I don't have my wife working.
Yeah, so here's a good idea, and I think it's Ramsey that recommends this. Ramsey, and this is one wise way to do it. He recommends that before there's kids, he recommends take this money and be saving it. And you don't always get to start off with the house. Take this money and be saving it, and that money can go toward like down payment on a house or whatever else, or expenses for the kids. And that way, when the baby comes and she's at home with the baby, you're used to living off of this income. And by the way, there's lots of things that overlap. Like I had a friend of mine say, I've never changed a diaper, and he had four kids. That's terrible. Okay? There's overlapping, and the woman can bring in income. But do notice the focus. In the curses in Genesis 3, whose curses revolve around the spouse and the children? Eve's. Whose curses revolve around being the provider? Yeah. And so be ready to bear that burden.
So one possible solution to this would be to never have Bob.
Exactly. That's what
yeah.
I was saying.
Don't let Bob hear you say that.
John, I'm hearing a lot of Christian couples deciding not to have children. Could you speak some wisdom?
Yeah, I was talking to somebody just recently, and a young man, he said, yeah, I don't want to have kids. You know, they're annoying. You know what? When you were a little kid,
you were annoying.
Yeah, you were annoying, and you were messy. And you had the little donut glaze going on up here and all that stuff. And somebody loved you and took care of you. Adam and Eve were told to multiply and fill the earth. And Noah was told to multiply and fill the earth. Now, in both those times, granted, there was an empty earth. But also in 1 Timothy 5, what does Paul say recommend for younger widows to do? Older widows was one thing, but younger widows, what does he recommend then? Marry and bear children. Okay? Bear children is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it is a great, great blessing. One of the great blessings in my life is being blessed with children. And so you want Bob, and then you want Bob's sister. What's her name going to be? Please make it better than Bob. Nathan.
Yeah, so 1 Timothy 5, you mentioned the younger widows are to marry. The older widows are not to be living in luxury either. They may not go out and have children, but it says she who lives in luxury is dead while she lives. So even then, it's not about us.
And some of the reasons that's mentioned, a lot of couples, the reason they don't want to have children is because they want this in the best neighborhood, and they want all granite countertops, and they want that vaulted ceiling, and they want an enclosed pool in the back, and they want to buy that. And it's like, you can do a lot of things if you're both working all the time and make your focus on money, and you're not charitable, you're not helping other people, and you're just consuming it all. But you know what? Those people are going to get old someday. And who's going to remember all the love and care and be devoted to taking care of them in their old age? So, thank you. And we'll send Bob back over here. He's going to get adopted.
Oh, no. Take a trip with your Uncle Justin.
Yeah. All right. So, one thing you need is time. And yeah, sometimes you will need to do some extra jobs, maybe take on a second job or something. But listen, you need to have time when you come in to help take care of those kids. Sometimes people have said, kids need quality time, not quantity time. Quantity time is quality time in a lot of ways for a little kid. They need lots and lots of time. And your wife needs a break. And you need to help take care of that child. And it's going to take diligence in disciplining them.
Can you talk about daycare and why that's not a good idea?
All right, so I'll give you a couple of daycare stories. So I talked to a lady that was running a daycare, and she was trying to run a good one. And she said, I started my own because I was really displeased at the daycare I was at. She was in a daycare where her job was, among other things, to scribble pictures so that when the parents came, they could say, this is what your child did. Because the children were being neglected. She said babies would sit there just crying and banging their heads on the wall. And she said, I was not allowed to hug them. They said, if you hug them and hold them, it'll spoil them. So they would just be left for hours just screaming and crying and banging their heads and stuff. And said one day, one of the workers had hit one of the kids and it had a black eye. And they said, you tell the parent that he fell off the slide. Okay, so now she's running a daycare and she's trying to do a better job, but she's hiring people, and you know what? The people that work at the daycare, they're not getting top dollar. You're getting people that are willing to sit here and change some diapers and stuff, and it doesn't mean that they love kids. Some people do, some people don't. But like an article in Reader's Digest said years ago, it said, you will never find somebody who will do for your child for money what you will do for your child for love. I've got some friends that run a daycare, and a very small daycare. They run in their home about like 6 to 8 kids or so. And one day, this is what happened. So the 6-year-old was sexually using the 1-year-old in a way that a 6-year-old would have never thought of doing, that they'd obviously learned from somewhere. Well, tracing the path back, the 6-year-old was in a family where the parents would go somewhere and hire the teenage girl in the neighborhood to babysit. The teenage girl came from a perverted family where the parents had sex in front of their teenage kids. So you can see where this went. Now, they walk in and see what this 6-year-old is doing to a 1-year-old, and they stop it. And they talked to, it was either corporate or state official above them, and this is what they were instructed to do. The amount of sexual abuse that's going on in this country right now, if you go to watchdog.org, I believe it is, it will show you the known sex offenders in your town. And in some cities, it's horrible. And that's just the known ones. That's only the ones that got caught and have been convicted, okay? And a lot of those kids, or a lot of kids in those families, and a lot of those kids get dumped in daycare. My point is this, if you got 30 kids in a daycare, what is the percentage of those kids that have already been victimized? And some of them are only victims, but one of the problems with sexual predators is victims often become perpetrators. You're putting your child in a really, really dangerous situation. Fortunately, my friends didn't do that. That child was removed, and they told all the adults what had happened. And some of you may know, because this may have happened to some of you, a sexual predator only needs a minute or sometimes less to sexually abuse somebody. And they are out there, and sometimes they're in a church, sometimes they're in a neighborhood, sometimes it's an uncle or somebody, sometimes it may be an aunt, and you just leave the child there for a little while, and there are and especially with this age of pornography, you know what the pedophiles are doing? They are watching pedophile porn. Okay, now if you're trying to lose weight, and you watch video and video and video, you know, of ice cream and donuts and banana splits and stuff, what are you going to want to do? So these people, they watch this stuff, and then they're looking for somebody to victimize. Don't put your child in a daycare. Take care of your child. It's just going to take time. All right, let's read some more of these without comment, and then we'll have some more comment at the end. I need somebody to have 725, somebody 1918. Just look down the list and we'll have some. Go ahead.
725 is actually 1725.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for catching that, John. Josh, read 1725, and then right after that, in quick unison, let's start having some other verses.
It says, a foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her who bore him.
19, verse 18.
Chasing your son while there is hope, and do not let your heart, do not set your heart on his destruction.
Chapter 22, verse 6.
Train up a child in the way it should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it.
We're going to come right back and talk about that in a minute. Chapter 22, verse 15.
Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it apart from him.
23, 13 through 14.
Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with the rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol.
Chapter 29, verse 15.
The rod of reproof gives wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his father.
Chapter 29, verse 17.
Rest your son, he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul.
All right, let's go back up to number four. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Have you ever heard the type of father that says this type of thing? I told my kids that as long as they're not going to do that while they're under my roof. You ever heard that? All right. How would you rate that as far as the parenting concept? Right. Because even if you succeed in that, I made sure my kids didn't do it under my roof. So where did it happen? What was the point of that? This verse doesn't say control your child and when he was old he will not depart from it. It says train your child and when he is old he will not depart from it. Now there are going to be some times where you'll need to control a child. But the point is to train them, not just control them. Control them will accomplish very, very, very little. You want to train them so that they respect God and other people, so that when they're under another roof, they're still going to do the right thing because they were trained. Look down there at number seven. What two things give wisdom? Number seven, 29, verse 15. The rod and rebuke give wisdom. So what if it's just rod? Okay? What if you grow up at home and it's like every once in a while your dad does whack? What have you learned? Yeah, hate your dad and stay away from him. You know, it's like dad's home, I'm leaving. Right? What if there's nothing but reproof? What does Eli say to his grown sons that he needed to take control of? What does he say to his sons? Why do you do this evil stuff? Which, by the way, is a step up from David. Because when it's time for Solomon to be king and David's on his deathbed, Solomon's brother says, I'm going to be king. And the text says what about him? Because David had never at any time said, are you doing that? So, I mean, as bad a father as Eli is, he's a step up. At least he goes, what are you doing that? How much effect did it have, though? Right. So, one time my wife saw this at Walmart. There's one of these kids, you know, in the little car seat thing, or the little part of the buggy where you can sit. And he's like yelling and screaming at his mom, and he's just as mad as can be. And he's trying to kick her and he's screaming at her. And I assume she's probably read a parenting magazine or something that maybe said, explain to your child how this makes you feel. So, you know, while he's doing this, he's going, it doesn't make mommy feel good when you do that.
And the child said, oh, I'm sorry.
You were When I said I hate you and I'm trying to kick you, I didn't realize that was unpleasant. The kid screamed up as far as he could. He went, shut up! And what good was your proof without anything backing it up? You know, when your kid's doing that, he's trying to hurt you. It's just like when they're throwing the tantrum. You know, no, we can't get, no, stop. I hate you, you're going to be my, no, shh. And then they look around and what do they say to the other shoppers? Sorry. You know, they're embarrassing me. Who knows that? Yeah, this is piracy. He knows the thing. He knows the buttons to push. It's like getting the Mountain Dew out of the machine. You know, it's like, and he embarrasses her enough, and what happens?
To do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
So how do you discipline in public? Obviously, it's much more dangerous.
Yeah, and use some judgment here, and you also have to think about politically the environment that you're in. If you're in the People's Republic in New York City, it may work a little bit differently. But I think about it in Luke one time. So we're at Hershey Park, and Luke's little guy, and Bertina's off riding the roller coasters and stuff, but Luke's little, and so he and I are going to ride the little train thing. And Luke's pretty excited. He's jumping around while he's in line. But there's other people in line. And so I said, Luke, don't be jumping while we're in line. But he's pretty excited. And anyway, he's jumping around. I thought, well, okay, I'm going to discipline him. But I was very careful to make sure people saw what kind of discipline it was. And I did to him what I'd often done with kids. I said, oh, no. I said, Luke, what did Daddy say to do? You said not to jump. So, and what did you do? I was jumping. And I said, what do you got to get? You know, a spanking. And I would often say this. I said, you know, is Daddy mad at you? And sometimes I did spank when I was mad. And you know, that's not very effective. You know, when you're mad and you're spanking your kids, they can tell what that is. And it doesn't feel the same. And I said, is Daddy mad at you? No. Does Daddy love you? That was the thing I would often say. And I would do this. You don't have to do this, but this is something I would do. I would give them a choice because I'm just kind of involving them in it. This is not just something happening. I'd say, which hand do you want it on? And they would go like, and, you know, it's just, they're committing to it. And then I'd be like, you know, and with a little kid, you know what I mean? Like, wham, wham. Just a little child. They need a reminder that this is inappropriate. And I went like, and the lady behind me goes, that's what we need more of, you know. And partly I was wanting to just, because everybody's afraid to discipline in public, I wanted to demonstrate in public what, you know, discipline should look like. And now there are some people that still would have got upset. But nobody can look at that and honestly describe that as child abuse. But I tell you what is abusive. I heard a child expert, and a lot of those people are not experts. And he was on a TV program, he was being interviewed, and there was a man and a lady interviewing him, the host of the show. And he's sitting there, and he's talking about how you never sky top and everything. And she goes, well, like, I've got a 2-year-old, and if they're going to touch something sharp or something, I'll go like, no, no. And he said, and it's important to know that that's wrong. And then he starts saying questions from the audience. And the lady says, I'm always yelling and screaming at my kids. And he laughed it off. And he said, oh, don't worry about that. I yell and scream at my kids, too. I've got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And I put 2 and 2 together. If you've got a 2-year-old or 4-year-old and you're never disciplining them, you're going to have chaos and what you're probably going to end up doing. Which would you rather have? Okay, lastly, the rod and reproof. Just reproof, no, just rod when they're younger. And later it would be things like, you know, hey, $5 every time you do that, $5. Or you don't get to go to that party or whatever. But if you, last question. If you were raised in a home where there was a lecture and then a spanking, when you disobeyed, not when you broke something or spilled something, a lecture and then a spanking when you disobeyed, raise your hand if you were raised in that home. So, did you ever wish you could skip the lecture and get straight to the spanking? The lecture hurts here. The spanking hurts here. They're both together. Together, that provides wisdom. Thanks, guys. I think we're out of time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Scott, do you
have
these lessons online
somewhere where anybody can use them? Oh, yeah. Listen up. There's a parenting series that I do. I've done it in a bunch of churches across the eastern U.S. If you Google my name and parenting, there's a the whole series on it. Go on YouTube.
Yeah, I was in his finance class.
Got that close
movie. Look, the tape's going.
That's when he says like that.